الإذاعة الإلكترونية لجامعة العلوم والتكنولوجيا تقدم دراسات إدارية باللغة الإنجليزية. الإعداد والتقديم الأستاذ محمد شجاع الدين. الهندسة الصوتية محمد العلي. الإشراف الدكتور سميرة الشميري. الإخراج رياض المحيي.
Dear students, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to our audio programs. This is our fifth lesson on air. In the last session, you learned about the mark to mix. We also discussed different pricing strategies and method and also the rest components of the mark to mix, including promotion, place, and product. By the end of today's lesson, you should be able to define the elasticity and the price elasticity. You will also learn about the organizational structure. Main points in this lesson are elasticity of demand, price elasticity of demand, income elasticity of demand, introduction to organization structure. Our first point in this lesson is about elasticity. What is elasticity? Elasticity is the relationship between changes in demand and changes in price and income. This is also known as elasticity of demand. There are two types of elasticity of demand, price elasticity and income elasticity. The price elasticity of demand measures the sensitivity of demand to a change in price. The income elasticity of demand measures sensitivity of demand to a change in income. Price elasticity means to what extent customers can accept a change in a price. If, for example, a company raises the price of a product, but notice that customers are still buying that product and that sales were not affected by the price raise, then this product is inelastic. On the other hand, if the price increased and the sales dropped and declined, that means customers were sensitive to the change in price and that product is not very important, so they either choose other cheaper products or just simply stopped buying it. In this case, this product is said to be elastic, as the higher the price gets, the lower the level of sales. We need to know why elasticity is important for businesses. Importance of measuring price elasticity of demand. When companies measure the elasticity, they can identify how changes in price and income may affect demand and, therefore, sales. This is important for planning. If, for example, a firm is planning a price cut, it will want to estimate the impact on demand and sales. This allows it to ensure that it has sufficient stocks or capacity to meet high demand. If the demand increases according to the change in price, it means the company also needs to consider its workforce planning. It may need to hire extra people or to get staff to work overtime to meet expected high orders. It will also want to calculate whether the price cut is worthwhile. Will it lead to higher profits as sales increases or not? Now, the importance of measuring income elasticity of demand. People's buying decision is greatly affected by their level of income. So companies need to study how a change in their customers' level of income will affect the demand of their products. Accurate forecasts ensure that the firm can meet the likely demand. Now, our second point in this lesson is about the price elasticity of demand. How do we calculate the price elasticity of demand? The value of the price elasticity of demand is calculated using this equation. Percentage change in demand divided by percentage change in price. For example, if sales rise by 10% due to a price cut by 2%, the price elasticity of demand will be 10% as percentage increase of demand divided by 2% as percentage change in price cut. Thus, 10 divided by 2 equals 5. We say that the product is price elastic if the value of the answer is bigger than 1, as the top line, change in demand, will be bigger than the bottom line, change in price. That is, the percentage change in demand will be larger than the percentage change in price that caused it. Thus, demand is sensitive to price changes and is described as price elastic. However, we say that the product is price inelastic if the top line of the equation is less than the bottom line. In this case, the percentage change in demand or sales will be smaller than the percentage price change that started the process. What determines the value of the price elasticity? The price elasticity of demand is affected by a number of factors. 1, the availability of similar products. If customers can switch from one product to another, then the demand will be sensitive to price changes and accordingly price elastic. This is because a change in a price will make customers switch to a cheaper, similar product. Hence, the sales or demand will not increase. 2, time. Customers are usually loyal to products in the short term of product life, but over time, they may think of other choices and thus make the product price elastic. 3, the type of product. Important products such as medicine and some foodstuff are not elastic, as customers will still have to buy even if there is a price raise. However, shopping goods are likely to be sensitive to price. 4, brand versus product. Demand for petrol as a whole is likely to be very price inelastic, as most customers would find it difficult or inconvenient to stay without their cars. Conversely, demand for one company's petrol is likely to be reasonably price elastic, as it is easy to switch to another garage. By this, we finish the second point. Our third point is about the income elasticity of demand. Income elasticity of demand is calculated using this equation. Percentage change in quantity demand divided by percentage change in income. This equation is similar to the equation that measures the price elasticity of demand. The sensitivity of demand to income changes depends on type of product. For example, products and services such as health clubs and sport cars are mostly income elastic. Other products are likely to be income elastic even if the customer's income increases, as customers might switch to better known brand or more luxurious products. These products are referred to as inferior products. Now, dear students, we come to our last point in this lesson, introduction to organizational structure. What is the organizational structure? The organizational structure is the way in which a business is structured according to its activities. Why do companies need to organize structure? The organizational structures have several purposes. These structures usually define the routes by which communication passes through the business, explain where authority and responsibility are located within the organization, set out rules and titles of individuals within the organization, mark the people to whom individual employees are accountable and those for whom they are responsible. Organizational structures mark out the charts of these organizations. These charts, known as organizational charts, are diagrams representing the job titles and the formal patterns of authority and responsibility within an organization. It is important to know that organizational structures are strategically changed when needed. Wise companies regularly change these structures as they consider the speed of external changes. All businesses have to ensure that they are able to compete with rival firms. Keeping cost to a minimum is an important part of competing successfully and is a common factor leading businesses to change their organizational structures. Span of control. What is the span of control? Span of control means the number of workers within a layer of hierarchy. For example, if a company has 5 layers of hierarchy, each layer may have 3 to 4 workers, especially there are many layers or more than 8 workers in each layer, if the company has few layers. In addition, it is normal for a span of control to be less at the top of the organization. This is because senior employees have more complex and diverse duties and therefore are more difficult to supervise. Levels of hierarchy. Some organizations may have large number of layers or levels, are referred to as tall. These types of organizations usually has 5 layers and a narrow span of control. On the other hand, organizations that have fewer layers are called fat. They also may have wider span of control. Sometimes, organizations may want to fatten their hierarchy or the layering the levels of hierarchy as to decrease the number of layers if the work conditions require so. The chain of command. As we discuss what a span of control is, it's also important to know how communication among these layers is done. The way the information passes through the organization is referred to as the chain of command. The chain of command is the line of communication authority existing within a business. Thus, a shop floor worker reports to a supervisor who is responsible to a departmental manager, and so on. There are some advantages and disadvantages of delayering. Some of the most important advantages are: delayering reduces costs by removing a number of expensive middle managers. Delayering can improve responsiveness by bringing senior managers and customers closer together. Delayering can motivate employees lower down in the organization by giving them greater authority and control over their working lives. Communication may improve as a consequence of delayering, since there are less levels of hierarchy for a message to pass through. On the other hand, there are also some disadvantages as follows. Delayering can reduce organizational performance as valuable knowledge and experience may be lost. Morale and motivation may suffer because employees feel insecure. Some businesses may merely use the excuse of delayering for making a large number of employees redundant. Delayering can lead to intolerable workloads and high levels of stress among us employees. Finally, organizations are seen to be either centralized or decentralized organizations. What is centralization? A centralized organization is one where the majority of decisions are taken by senior managers at the top or center of the business. Centralization can provide rapid decision-making as few people are likely to be consulted. It should also ensure that the business pursues the objectives set by senior managers. On the other hand, decentralization gives greater authority to employees lower down the organizational structure. In the 1980s and early 1990s, many businesses decentralized for a number of reasons. Decentralization provides subordinates with the opportunity to fulfill needs, such as achievement and recognition by working on delegated tasks. This should improve motivation and reduce the business's cost by, for example, reducing the rate of labor turnover. Decentralization is doubly beneficial to management. It reduces the workload on senior managers, allowing them to focus on strategic rather than operational issues. At the same time, it offers junior managers an opportunity to develop their skills in preparation for a more senior position. By this, dear students, we come to the end of this lesson. Let's recap most important points discussed throughout the lesson. We first define elasticity as the relationship between changes in demand and changes in price and income. This is also known as elasticity of demand. There are two types of elasticity of demand: price elasticity and income elasticity. The price elasticity of demand measures the sensitivity of demand to a change in price. The income elasticity of demand measures sensitivity of demand to a change in income. Companies need to measure price and income elasticity of demand to identify how changes in price and income may affect demand and, therefore, their sales. Then we learned how to calculate the price elasticity of demand using the following equation: percentage change in demand divided by percentage change in price. It was also found that there were a number of factors affecting the price elasticity of demand. For example, the availability of similar products, time, the type of product, and brand versus product. Then we discussed income elasticity of demand that measures the sensitivity of demand to a change in income. Income elasticity of demand is calculated using the equation percentage change in quantity demand divided by percentage change in income. It was also found that the sensitivity of demand to income changes depends on the type of product and customers' perspectives towards various products. Our last point was about the organizational structure. We defined organizational structures as the way in which a business is structured according to its activities. The importance of constant changes in organizational structures was discussed as organizations need to adapt and strategically react to external changes. We also define the term span of control as number of workers within a layer of hierarchy. It was also found that organizations are of different levels of hierarchy and that they can be either tall as having large number of layers or fat organizations as those having few number of layers but usually wide span of control. It was also found that the way information passes throughout the organization is referred to as the chain of demand, which was defined as the line of communication and authority existing within a business. Companies may also need to reduce the number of layers, known as delayering, or to carry on with its number of layers. However, it was found that there are some advantages and disadvantages. We ended up the lesson by categorizing organizations based on either being centralized or decentralized organizations. Centralized organizations are those where the majority of decisions are taken by senior managers at the top or center of the business. Decentralized organizations give greater authority to employees lower down the organizational structure. In our next lesson, you will learn to answer the following question: what are the different types of organizational structures? You will also learn about the various theories of motivation. Thank you for listening to us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
دراسات إدارية باللغة الإنجليزية. الإعداد والتقديم الأستاذ محمد شجاع الدين. الهندسة الصوتية محمد العلي. الإشراف الدكتور سمير الشميري. الإخراج رياض المحير.